But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. So truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, now I had this great sermon written before pandemic. And it talked about like how the disciples come out of the temple and they want to know what the signs are that the kingdom is coming. And I had this question of what was one of the signs that would get our attention and cause us to live our lives differently, that would change everything we understand about the world? What was one of those signs? What would that be? I gotta learn to stop asking those types of questions. Because here we are, and everything is different, and it fully has our attention. And I think most of us are going stir crazy already. You may have seen everything you wanted to see on Netflix and some things you didn't want to see on Netflix. And you are looking for things to do. Things that you would get to someday are somehow getting done. Or you have a very ambitious list of things and none of them are getting done. Maybe just a little getting done. So we're going to go back into this passage. The narrative lectionary cuts out the middle of this chapter of Mark. And it's kind of more of the same. It's an apocalyptic text. So the first thing I want you to notice is that when Jesus is talking with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Olives, he tells them, when they ask about signs, that you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in various places, there will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. So there's a couple interesting things here for us today, in the middle of pandemic. None of these things that are listed are things done by God. Nowhere does Jesus say, oh, right before the Son of Man comes in glory, here's the five things God is going to do so that you wake up. These are all things we do to one another. And in my lifetime, I don't know that I have ever lived in a time where there was not war or rumors of war. A time where there was not famine, where nation was not turning against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I'm a child of the Cold War, a child who lived under the threat of nuclear bombs that were even games, movies made about it. And some of you will remember, would you like to play a game? How about global thermonuclear war? That was normal. And part of what Jesus is getting at here is that all of these things that we would take as signs that God is about to be active are things we do to one another on a fairly regular basis. This is normal. War and rumors of war and famine and nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This is how we live every day. This is how we live when the kingdom is not fully present. I think we have read so often passages like this and passages in Revelation and assumed that the wars were part of the grand plan. And Jesus is saying, no, the wars are part of the symptom. The wars are part of the problem. The wars are the way you people do things. And then the end of verse 8, Jesus tells them, this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, I am not an expert on birth pangs. Many of you have much, much more experience than I will ever have with birth pangs. But I found it an interesting description that these are pains that will lead to new life. Not easy, not quick, not painless, but transformative. In the middle of the chapter, we get a lot more description of things, and Mark, the lectionary folks, leave that out. Then we get to this great vision. In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven. Man, that's a grandiose description of life suddenly changing, of nothing working the way that it's supposed to. We expect the sun to come up. We expect the stars to stay in the heavens. We expect the moon to reflect the sun's light. We expect to be able to go to Kroger and find toilet paper or hamburger or bottled water. We don't expect to need to stand 6 feet away from other people. We expect to be able to hug people and shake hands without fear of death. If you want to read it as an apocalypse, our days are an apocalypse, if you want to read it that way. The part that I really found tough to cope with coming out of this apocalypse was when Jesus turns to the fig tree. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. Figs, trees putting forth leaves, that's how it's supposed to happen, right? That's how we know it's going to be spring or summer, is that there are crocuses and daffodils and perhaps dandelions and stinky Bartlett pears. That was interesting. And so that's very normal. But for those of us here, we're also aware that there's this other piece that happens. Those of us who live in a place with orchards know that there is a risk of a frost after the leaves come out, and that we could lose the whole crop. And so here we are, as the people of God, watching and waiting, aware that the world is different, aware that our lives are different. And yet Jesus tells us to look for something very normal, very natural to figure out when the time is coming. Then he reverts back to being Jesus and being cryptic. About that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Thanks for nothing, Jesus. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time is coming. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slave in charge, each with his own work, commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. And I think that is perhaps the profound message for the church in all of this. I don't think any of us expected this. Hey, 2020, I was prepared for flying cars via the Jetsons, not pandemic. I was prepared for things were supposed to be awesome by now, not stay in your house, don't talk to other people, shelter in place. And I think that I got a little complacent, thinking it was all just going to get better automatically. The kingdom would draw nearer. We people would become more faithful day by day, and things would just get better. They're not better. We're still profoundly broken. We still have wars and rumors of wars. We still have famine because of how we are with one another. And so I think the message here is not just keep alert, but keep alert and keep the faith. Keep alert not just to the coming of God, but keep alert to all the ways in which the kingdom is needed on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a per minute basis, to be honest. And that is what we are supposed to be about, not keeping our eyes on the big thing, but keeping our eyes on the little things that make up the big things. This moment in time and space is a chance for us to answer the question of, well, you know, if the world really went to heck in a handbasket, I would. You would what? Share your toilet paper? Check on your neighbor? Cut their grass as it becomes overwhelmingly large? Check in on them via text or Zoom or Facebook or the other 6,000 ways we can communicate? This is our chance to not say, if this happened, I would, but to say, when this happened, I did. And that's not just a profound opportunity for us as individual people of faith. It is a profound opportunity for the church. When everybody else was sheltering in place, afraid of their neighbor, was the church the Good Samaritan? I was going to ask us this Sunday what it would take to get us to change things, and now everything has changed. Is it just changing who we're willing to see, or is it truly transforming us into the people of God? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.